smile on me. If he's been good to me, it was amazing grace. Yes, how sweet. Sing it with me. Oh, yes. Like who will I once? Oh, yes, but now I'm. You was blind, but now I see. And it's all because my God. Oh, yes, he smiled on me. I believe that he has. God is good. Who will my God? Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he smiled on me. He's been to me. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly, truly honored guest. Thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be alive. It's good to be a child of God this morning. We have been embarking on a series. We've entitled it Lifeology. I do know that the word lifeology is not an official word. We had two or three people, Gary, I couldn't find a lifeology. That's not a word. It's just a catchphrase. But we have been searching God's word and trying to guide us in everyday life as we apply his principles to our lives. And God has not left us here without the tools to live every day, every single day, seeing that his divine power has granted to us, to the saints, to the Christians, everything. You understand that? Everything. You at home, you at work, you're single, you're married, you're old, you're young. God has given us everything pertaining to life. Yes, and we have to believe that, but we won't apply it if we don't know what God has given us. And so we've been walking through the Word of God and just trying to understand what God would have us to do and how he would have us to live and how he wants to bless us even more and more. Jesus says, I came that you might have life. And that's what he was talking about. He says, I came, left glory, that you learned, you know how to live, you know what God, and that you might have the abundant life, the good life. And we're in search of it, and sometimes we just search all the wrong places, trying to find happiness and security in life, and we just won't go to God's word. And so we've been doing that, and we just hope that it has helped somebody, helped us. I tell you what, it has certainly humbled me. The Word of God has so much. Our lesson titles up to this point have been Life is Hard and Not Always Fair. I don't have time to review it because I won't have time to finish my lesson today. The second lesson was Enjoy Life. Enjoy life. Yeah, enjoy life. Don't live in drudgery. And there are days that sometimes we can enjoy life better than others. You know, and some sin is in the world. We can't enjoy it all the time because sin has just messed everything up. You have crooked folk in the world, but you have a lot of good people in the world. Yeah, and there are good things that happen every single day. If the sun comes out, you ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Yeah, when it rains, you ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Some folk complain about the sun, the rain, the snow. Oh, it's cloudy today. Just say, thank you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. You forget moments to enjoy life. Habits, one of the lessons, habits are the key to our success. These are just the titles of the lessons. What we do every day, the things that have molded. Some of us, we're on autopilot, but you need to replace those bad habits with some good habits. Because there are great blessings when you can learn how to do things, even in instinct, that are good. God would have us to do. They bless our lives. The more we can do them every day, they'll bless us even more and more. Last week, I believe we entitled the lesson, Good People Build Their Lives on a Foundation of Respect, of respect, of respect for others, respect for ourselves. Those are the titles of the lessons. If you want to go back and listen to them, I believe that they are online on our website today. And there's no certain order I'm doing these in. But I believe that the foundation can be found in the Word of God. I did take some of my subtitles from Hal Urban's book, Life's Greatest Lessons. He uses some of these subtitles. So if you find them, you say, Brother Gary is using Hal's Sir Urban's lesson titles. I'm not using many of his words. Sometimes I might quote from something that he says, but the titles to me are catchy, and they will help us to direct us in whatever area of our lives. One of the titles he uses is in his book. He actually calls this his most important chapter in the book, and it's entitled "Honesty is Still the Best Policy." Amen. Honesty, and we're talking about living, and we're talking about. See, there's nothing new under the sun. You know that. Solomon said that a long time ago. And we're not making up anything. And sometimes we, even when we come to church service, we want to hear something new. We want, give me something profound this morning. Well, it's already been spoken by God. The word of God is profound. Even when people write books, a lot of times people write, but they go to the Bible and try to recapture what the Bible has already said. I want to focus this morning. Not holier than thou. And this is we're trying to get better, right? This is not from Bergeri fussing at anybody, because I'm telling you, some of these lessons, you don't want to preach nothing you're not living yourself. Now, I know some preachers do that, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I have a hard time. I'm studying, I say, Lord have mercy, I need to check myself. And so I want God's blessings. And ain't no shortcut around. And some of this we have to face ourselves. So take this as we are trying to do this ourselves together to live better for our great God. And he calls this, he says that honesty is the highest form of respect. Notice last week we talked about respecting others. You know, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do likewise unto you. See, it shows a great amount of respect when I treat you the way you want to be treated. And he says that honesty is the highest form of respect. When we notice this, we serve our great God in heaven. One man, young man, asked Jesus when Jesus was on this earth, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And he said that you may love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Notice, when you love people, you respect them. Yeah, and he says, honesty is, you see, God wants us to be truthful to him. Honesty and integrity go together. Honesty and integrity. The word integrity is found several times in the Old Testament. The word integrity. It's a broader sense. Honesty, to be truthful. Integrity is a broader word. It means the sincerity of heart and intention. Truthfulness, uprightness, more than that, completeness. See, integrity means a complete person with high moral values. See, lessons like this, we're getting far and in between that we don't even like to hear lessons that call our actions, calls our deeds into question. We just talk around them because I don't need nobody trying to tell me what to do. But see, we get the word integral from the word integrity. It's the vital piece. You know, we've been talking about lessons, and one of the things he said, Hal Urban says in his books, he says all these lessons on being successful and using your gifts and talents, they don't mean anything if you don't have any integrity. Because, see, you can choose, especially as a young person, yeah, I want to be able to sing, I want to be able to jump and run. You can have the greatest gift, But if you don't have moral character, it goes to waste. And if you're going to choose, listen to the word of God. It says this in Proverbs 19:1. The brother just read it, you're hearing. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So if you're going to make a choice between being able to run fast and somebody who has a whole lot of sense and a high moral value, you lead a running to somebody else. Yeah, and so he speaks, the word of God speaks clearly on God, how God wants us to behave and act and carry out our daily lives. And so we need to make this a shield that we use in every aspect of our lives. Solomon said it even wiser in Proverbs 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is the shield to those who walk in integrity. That's God. See, he's the shield to those who walk. You know what you use a shield for, don't you? A shield is for protection. See, truthfulness will uphold you in a storm. Integrity will stay with you when nobody else stays with you, and it will uphold you in God's eyesight. He says this in Proverbs 10:9. He who walks in integrity walks securely. Anybody need some security? Securely. Yeah, you sleep better when you walk in integrity. Yeah, you don't have to have a long memory, because when you tell the truth, it's the truth whether you forget it or not. But you know, when you tell a lie, yeah, you tell a lie, boy, you have a hard time remembering that lie. Amen, somebody. It says, he who walks in integrity walks securely. How much money did I tell you I gave you? If that's how much you gave him, that's how much you gave him. And you walk securely because you're walking in truth. Amen, somebody. Well, Gary, I need to ask you something. You did something last week, and I need to check on it. Well, if I did what was right, it'll stand. Amen. You walk securely. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to, man, wait a minute, did I? Oh, Lord, I lied. I know. You walk securely. But he who perverts, the scripture would say, his ways will be found out. Yeah. Yeah, I know this is one of those. I said, Lord, I don't know. So people gonna be analyzing me and saying, well, Gary, I remember when you lied before. And you very well might. Because we all are human. Now this is about life. This is every day. And this is one of those lessons you don't need to be checking out Brother Gary right now. Amen, somebody. I've done it myself. And you know what? Before I preach this lesson, you know what I asked the Lord to do? Lord, please forgive me of all of my sins. Amen. And amen, I did. I'm Brooke here. You shouldn't have to do that. Well, I did it. Amen. And after all, I just, you know, this is about us. Amen. Yeah. Ooh, I wish my husband was here. No, you here. Say, first you deal with yourself. Before you try. We're talking about, this is what he says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. I think the brother read this one in your hearing. The integrity of the upright will guide them. See, and you don't have to be a PhD to know what's right. Man, you don't have to be all that smart to know. See, we by nature, God has created us in a way that you, and not some things we do out of ignorance, but you know when you offend somebody. You know that. Yeah, he says, so the integrity of the upright will guide, it will tell you how to treat people. Because all you need to do is say, well, look, how would I want to be treated? And notice, everywhere, not just at church, on your job, if you're going, or you out eating in a restaurant, how you treat the waiter or the waitress ought to reflect on how you want to be. See, and I'm understanding. And so he says, your integrity will guide you. And you know what? It reveals who we really are. It does. That's why I say, I might not get a lot of amens on this sermon. I'm serious, because it reveals, it reveals the true you. Notice this. And if we're humble and we let God work with us and let God reveal what you need, it will reveal where you, what you really need to be working on. Yeah. And it'll a person of integrity, they look at things and say, well, wow, I'm incomplete. And I know I say I'm a Christian, but I know God is not pleased with this. How I'm acting, Lord have mercy. And let me finish the scripture. It says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. Then it says, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. That's why I want God's blessing. And people mislabels, and sometimes. But do you want somebody to call you crooked? And it's not about calling a person crooked. Either you crooked, or you're not. Because most people that's crooked, I know there's probably nobody in here crooked. But most people that's crooked, they're not gonna tell you I'm crooked. But they are living, and their actions, and they'll do it. But the scripture just testifies of a truth. He says that you can be crooked and you can be treacherous, but it will destroy you. Amen. It catch up with you. Yeah, it does. Now, just listen. It's a serious matter. And it is, we're talking about living, because we want God's blessings every single day. And God has principles in his word that guide us, that will tell you how I'm going to stay with you and be with you, how I'm going to protect you. You know, you might go through some trials, but if you hold on to your integrity, I'm going to be your shield. Amen. And I'm going to uphold you whatever the situation is in life. Now, I know you live in life. Life is hard. It's not always fair, because sin is in the world. But I'm telling you how you can be blessed. Every day, in every situation of our life, it's a serious matter, church. Amen. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 1, Acts 5, 1. I'm stopping at my appropriate time, trying to stay on time. I wanted to come down closer, but my eyes, I can't see down there when I go down there. Acts 5, 1, it's a serious matter. This is the early part of the earliest stages of the church, Ananias and Sapphira. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. They were Christians, had been baptized into Jesus Christ, and kept back some of the price for themselves. Now, they didn't have to sell a property, wasn't commanded to sell a property, but they did. The church is all there together, and there were needs, and some people were doing it, some people were not. But it seemed like their motives, just some their motives wasn't right. And then the Bible says in verse 2, and kept back some of the price for himself. They sold a piece of property, kept back some of the price for himself. Ananias, it seemed like it was his idea. But the Bible says, with his wife's full knowledge, his wife knew everything he was doing. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet, which was a noble task. But Peter said, Ananias, I don't have time to read the whole account. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Notice this. To lie to the Holy Spirit. God takes lying serious. You take lying serious. I take lying serious. Do you like people to lie to you? We all know that. And, you know, there's some older folks, they have sayings. They say, if you lie, you're, to the young people, they don't, they take right to that time. But she say, if you lie, you are still. I remember my mother said that to us when we were young. I'm like, what am I talking about? And you know, we were talking about habits are the key to success. Some habits. And some people are habitual because lying, it gets you out of, you know, if you don't want the pressure, you just lie. And it gets you out for a little while. And it seemed like they didn't have to do this. It was their property. And it seemed like they were lying. See, people lie for all kind of reasons. It seemed like they were lying for notoriety. They wanted to give some money. We sold our property, and we just wanted to give it to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, and here it is right here. And they're waiting for somebody. Ananias and Sapphira! Remember this in life. God sees us even when we're not at church. God knows where your job is. He knows what your address is. And notice, and in this particular instance, God was the only one that knew they had held it back. But it was revealed by God. Now, this is the early stages of the church, and God certainly, I'm saying, Lord, that's hard. Let me finish reading it so you'll know the account, those of you that don't know the account. He laid it to the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Because anytime we lose our integrity and we start shortcutting and we start lying, it's none but the devil. Amen. I don't know, Brother Gary, I had a good reason to lie. Think about what you just said. See, our good reason most of the time is for our protection. That's our good reason. See, you don't want people to know what you really did. And most of the time, if you check on what you really did, it was something to benefit. Amen. I know that he lied to keep back some of the price of the land, verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? The Lord didn't ask you to do this. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Even after you sold it, you still didn't have to lie. Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And he is heard these words, and as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it. Ain't that serious? And some of you young people, ooh, Lord, and may the Lord kill them because they lied? Yes, he did. It ain't that serious. It is to God. And when you're young, let me ask a question. Don't answer it out loud. Have you ever lied to your parents? That's why I say I had a difficult time putting this lesson together. I said it seemed like all when I was studying, it seemed like all a lie. And I had to pray real fast. Lord, please, I know you. I thank you for forgiving me for that long time ago, but I need to ask you again. Amen. But, you know, when we're trying to strive to live for God and do better, the truth, sometimes it hurts. It penetrates, don't it? Somebody in here this morning, you wanted to praise the Lord, and oh, I need an uplifting sermon, and you weren't planning on hearing this, but this is maybe what God wants. See, you won't. I don't know why I'm working here. I'm having a hard time. I'm just everything, nothing going right. Yeah. And I'm on. I don't want to beat. But we want God's blessings, though. See, this is not rocket science. You spending all your energy, all your effort. You trying to line up all these ducks, but this is a big duck right here. You're putting the cart before the horse. And if your life, if your everyday life is built on a house of cards and built on this flimsy foundation of poor moral values, of no integrity, of lying and deception. Yeah. The cost of dishonesty is too high. It's too high. It's too. Some of us as adults, we're finding it out now. And Lord have mercy, it's never too late as long as you have breath in your body. And so that's why you don't see. Well, if you're here today and you're still, because I know some of you say, "Well, Gary, it's too much for me." You're bringing up everything. See, if you are here today, you need to say, "Praise the Lord, thank you, Lord." Well, Hal Urban in his books, he admits, he says, "This was the toughest chapter for me to write." He said, "Because it just reminds me of all the dishonest acts that I've done. The cost of dishonesty is too high." Let me just list some of the costs real quickly. It's a vicious circle. You know it is. See, because one lie leads to what? Yeah. You just have to, you know, it's a lie on a lie. It's a vicious circle. And if you don't plant your feet and stop it, it never stops. You watch TV shows and movies. They make people leading these double, triple lies. And you know, we put on such a good face, and you know, we just act like we all of this, and it gets hot. We become phonies, manipulators, master manipulators. You just, everything is fake, and you've gotten good at it. It's become a habit, and you're so manipulative that even when the truth is staring you right in the face, even when it's right there, instead of going and telling the truth, you're so used to manipulating the situation, you just fabricate. Cost is too high. It eventually catches up with us. It does. Inevitably, it catches up with us. And most of the time, at the inconvenient time. Yeah, Lord have mercy. I hope and pray. Some of us, we've seen it catch up with people at their funeral. Y'all know I manage the funeral home, and I'm passionate about some of this, and it scares me. So you come to the funeral, and you know, family comes down and they bury their loved one, and all of a sudden another family show up. I'm at the funeral home while we making arrangements. People come in, somebody called, my loved one died, and all of a sudden you get another call, says, do you have so-and-so-and-so at the funeral home? Yes, we do. We say, well, I'm the wife. I said, no, ma'am, we the wife, and she said, no, that's not the wife. I'm not trying to bring up, we're talking about life. Yes. Notice this. This is real life. And our actions have consequences. But Garrett, please don't bring nothing. See, that's God is wonderful. He's good. And see, even if you're in a situation, you can deal with it as long as you got life. Oh no! See, no, you've been taking. You see, what's wrong? Many times we take the easy route out. We think. See, dishonesty, it can't be hidden forever. This is the cost of it. It can't be hidden forever. It's coming out. It ruins relationships. ruins relationships. How many of us have been hurt by dishonesty? How many of us? How many of us? By just simple being honest. I remember. I can use my wife because she's my wife. So I don't consult all the time when I'm doing this. And sometimes she's just as shocked as you are. But we had that kind of relationship. We built, you know. We definitely not perfect. And I love my wife because sometimes her honesty is so brutal. And you know what? Sometimes you get mad at honesty. People honest with you, and you get mad. But see, listen, don't get too mad. It's just like when you're communicating honestly, you remember that you're the Lord's servant, and you communicate it in love. But honesty, and sometimes my wife. You know, especially when we think we've been caught, you know, you want to reprimand somebody for something that you know they did wrong. And that's most time when we lie. Somebody mad, oh, no, I can't tell them the truth. I'm about to lie to them because I don't want them jumping all over me. And I confronted my wife on this situation. What is it, Brother Gary? You don't need to know all of that. But I confronted her on the situation. I said, babe, what is this? What's up? What's going on? And she said, babe, what you talking about? I said, well, what is, what, please, just tell me what's going on. Hi. And you know what she did? She said, yeah, that's you right, baby. I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. I didn't want to hear that at the time. Because I wasn't through fussing. And she just broke me down. She said, now, baby, don't do that. Now, see, don't do that again, though. Don't do it like that no more. No, just. But she was honest with me. And You know what? This is a study that was done by students at SMU school I went to. This has been years ago. They said that dishonesty, it attacks our nervous system. It does something to our inside. They say sustaining false intentions places enormous stress on our insides. And you know that's the truth. I mean, because even what you, and young people understand, you know how you do something wrong and you lie and you try to get away with it and you trying to, you don't want nobody to find out and something happened and you say, oh, they're going to find out? And you break out in a cold sweat. The cost is too high. Let me give some reasons for being honest, and I'm gonna close. For living lives of integrity. Why the benefits outweigh the cost of being dishonest. Number one, peace of mind. And this is one that, you know, I think through experience, we learn as we get older. Because sometimes when we're young, you know, you're young, you're invincible, and you're not looking at all the consequences. Well, I'm not there yet, Brother Gary, and I got to enjoy life, and sometimes you just have to do things. And yeah, been there, done that. Yeah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. Matthew 8, 24. Talking about peace of mind. And that's what the Proverbs writing was saying. You walk in security when you have high integrity. Notice this. And behold, there rose a great storm on the sea. This is a literal storm during Jesus' time. Some of us in here this morning, we may be in a storm. It could be a physical storm. It could be a family storm. It could be a job-related storm. So that the boat was being covered with the waves. It was a great storm. And then the Bible said, but Jesus himself was asleep. Storm going on. How in the world are you going to sleep in a storm? Well, and truth be told, if everybody had the opportunity in here to this morning to just share what's going on in your life, we'd hear a whole lot of storms. But then there's some in here come in here, and when we start singing praises to God, they singing loud. And then some people come in here, and they don't even open their mouth. But I can't sing this morning, bro. Lord, I don't even feel like singing. Too much on my mind. And know this. When you walk as a child of God in integrity, God is your shield.
Amen.
Even when you're going through a trial, know that he's not going to leave you hanging. And just the fact that as parents, we are the protectors of our children, especially when they're young. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. As parents, we are, and see, for a child, when I used to go to school when I was young, when I got out of school, I had a house to go to. And you know what? I knew that when the day that went by that my mama and daddy were not going to feed me. I knew I had some clothes. So when I left out the house, I could walk out the house having a sense of security, knowing I got somewhere else to go if I don't have nowhere else to go. And that in itself gives you a whole lot of, and at the time, I didn't even recognize how much peace I had. And there's some who don't know live from pillar to post and who are distressed on every hand because there is no security. And Jesus could sleep in the storm because Jesus knew the storm has nothing on my father. Yeah, when you're righteous, don't care what you're going through. Oh, you'd say, Daddy gonna take care of it. He was asleep, and they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Help us to not get all twisted out of whack and do things that are against your will and transgress against your will, trying to take on things ourselves, knowing that if we trust you, you're going to take care of us. You live with integrity so God can stay on your side. Number two reason for being humble, I need to hurry. I only have 3 minutes. Your reputation. You know, did you not know that honesty is one of the most admired traits by human beings? It's one of the most admired traits. Listen to Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts 6, 3. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men. This is during a time of need in the church. 7 men of good reputation. You know, our reputation, see, reputation means that you've been living in such a way, such a consistent way that people recognize it. They notice it by what you see, what you do every day, how you treat people, how you talk to people, how you are a man or woman of your word or not. See, sometimes we tell what we call little lies, but people remember them. Yeah, you said you were going to come to my, you said you were going to do this. You said you did. Oh, and some of it, we lie so much. Not in here, nobody in here. But some people lie so much that they forget what they even said to anybody. And every little lie tears at our reputation. Yeah. Number three, honesty cements It cements relationships. Honesty cements, it glues. If you got a wife, if you have a husband that you can, you know when they say something to you. Now, we are human beings. We can make mistakes. Sometimes we cannot deliver even on what we say because of our human situations. But you have someone who tells you the truth and you know it and they do it consistently, you better be thanking the Lord. Because it just binds us closer and closer together. Honesty, being honest, it gives us mental and physical health. Dishonesty is the root of many psychological problems. Many psychological problems. Many people have lived lives of deception. And they've attacked their even mental system, the way they think, and they're filled with guilt. And listen to Psalms chapter 38, verse 3. Psalms 33, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation, my Lord. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. Hal Irvin, he quotes in his book, he says, we need to be honest not because of what might happen to us when we are not, but because of what happens to us inside when we are. I know this what might not have been what you planning on hearing this morning, but I understand why he calls it the most important chapter in his book, because, you know, some of us, we got a lot of things together. You know, we got the gifts. Some of us, we even had the money. We have the perception, but the foundation is shaky. Some of us, we need to address this. Probably all of us need to address it to a certain degree in our lives. And you know, when we in conversation with people, that's what I have. I say, we get busy, you start talking to people, and you just tell people anything. People, you get involved, and you know, what's going on? And you just start saying stuff. And sometimes we're trying to brag on ourselves. Why are you doing that? Quit lying to people. Amen. And lying to ourselves.
Amen.
And it builds a false foundation. And surely we don't want our children raised in that manner. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to live better lives for you. Help us to follow your word. Lord, please forgive. Let's pray real quick. Dear Father, thank you. We love you so much. We just need you. Father, purify our hearts. Help us to accept your will. Help us to please bless us in all things. Forgive us, guide us, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you hear you're not a child of God, you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin. God adds you to the church. And we live faithful unto death, and he'll give us a crown of righteousness. And see, doing the will of God, following the doctrine of Christ, is following his teachers. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You hear? You're not a Christian. You need to be. You need to be in his church, in his family. Yeah, don't you come in here thinking that, well, Brother Gary, y'all got it all together here at the Field War Church of Christ. No, that's why we're here.
Amen.
We're here because we don't have it together.
Amen.
And we depending on nothing but the Lord. You want to get in this struggle? You need to get in and doing it God, doing God's will and doing it his way. You're here and you have your heart is heavy. You need us to pray for you. We'll do that. You're here. You need to get something right with the Lord. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song?
When the